Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host tonight, Afrida Love, and our co-host may join us later, or she may have to join us another time, but we're going to carry on with the ministry. So I want to go on and start with our prayer, followed by our scripture, and then we're going to pay tribute to the late Dr. Maya Angelou. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us to just wake up this morning. We thank you for starting us on our way, Heavenly Father. Thank you for giving us health and strength, and we thank you for just keeping us, Heavenly Father. We're asking would you bless this particular segment to be uplifting and edifying in your sight, Lord. We thank you for each day. We thank you for each guest. We thank you for each gift. We thank you for the word that will go forth as far as the life and legacy of Dr. Maya, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we're just asking you, would you continue to help us, keep us, and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Hey, amen, and amen. And I'm going to read, of course, Psalm 103, 1 through 6. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. I have read to you Psalm 103, 1 through 6. May the Lord that a blessing to the his doers and the seekers of his holy word. And on today, as I said before, I'm going to pay homage or tribute to the Dr. Maya Angelou. I know that she was very inspirational to many individuals all across this world. We were very saddened when we heard the news that she had passed away on May 28, 2014. And so I would like to just give you some information about her. I would also like to explain something that's on my heart regarding her poetry and the feeling that I sense when I read her poetry. And I just want to take this time to, you know, pay my due respects to her family and to the life that she will continue to live through her legacy, through her poetry, and through her family. So at this time, I would like to go ahead and pay tribute. Okay. Maya Angelou was born Margaret Annie Johnson on April 4th, 1928. She was an American author, poet, dancer, and singer. She published 7 autobiographies, 3 books of essays, and several books of poetry. And she was credited with a list of plays, movies, and television shows spanning more than 50 years. She received dozens of awards and over 30 honorary doctoral degrees. Angelou is best known for a series of 7 autobiographies, which focus on her childhood and early adult experiences. The first, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, that was in 1969, tells of her life up to the age of 17 and brought her international recognition. She became a poet and writer after a series of occupations as a young adult, including a fry cook, nightclub dancer and performer, cast member of the opera Prodigy and Bess. She was a coordinator of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and she was a journalist in Egypt and Ghana during the days of when they were decloning and things like that. She was an actor, writer, director, and producer of plays, movies, and public television programs. So I would like to introduce to some and present to others the late Dr. Maya Angelou. And what I really want to first focus on is the aspect that the life that she left behind was a life that is filled with a lot of respect. She left behind realness. She left behind a sense of you can make it. She left behind a sense of despite any challenges that you may face in your life, you can still be successful. And so I would like to first of all look at her poem, which is entitled I Am a Christian. And she wrote this poem, and I want to reiterate some things that I sense when I read this particular poem, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, when I say I am a Christian, I'm not shouting I'm clean living. I'm whispering I was lost. Now I'm found and forgiven. When I say I'm a Christian, I don't speak of this with pride. I'm confessing that I stumble and need Christ to be my guide. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not trying to be strong. I'm professing that I'm weak and need his strength to carry on. All right. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting I failed and need God to clean my mess. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are far too visible, but God believes I am worth it. When I say I'm a Christian, I still feel the sting of pain. I have my share of heartaches, so I call upon his name. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not holier than thou. I'm just a simple sinner who received God's grace somehow. Amen. And so this particular poem, the sense that I get from this poem is that we're not perfect just because we're Christians. She said, yes, I'm a Christian. She said, but she's not saying that she's perfect and everything she does is clean. And she said, you know, everyone at some point, even in this Christian walk, just as the sheep, sometimes get lost in the shuffle and Jesus has to come back and find us. And, you know, that song, I once was lost and now I'm found, Amazing Grace, amen? And God's amazing grace finds us in the position, the very position that we are, and he brings us back. So she says in this first stanza, she says, yeah, I'm a Christian, she said, and my life is not blemish-free, amen? She said, there are some things that I need to clean up, she said, but when I'm lost, she said, God finds me and he forgives me. The second stanza is saying that she's not prideful, you know, she said she stumbles, and stumbling when she gets up through the help of Jesus Christ, then he becomes her guide. He puts her back on the right path. And many times this reminds me of someone on a balance beam. You know, you have to continue to keep your balance. And if you make one wrong step, you could fall off. But at the same time, you're able to get back up. Why? Because Christ is helping you back up, and he is your guide. And then the third stanza is saying that she's not trying to portray that she's a strong woman because she's been through a lot. We all have been through a lot. She says she's professing that she's weak and she needs God's strength to carry on. And each day of our lives bring new mercies. And because of the things that we go through in the world, we become tired. As I said before, we become tired and we may become weak. But in that, we are able to be strong through the help of Jesus Christ. And then for the fourth stanza, when I say I'm a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting I failed and need God to clean my mess. She's not bragging about all of the success that she has, you know, when she says that she's a Christian. You know, she's saying that she's going to be truthful and says that in some things she have failed and God has had to clean up some things in her life, you know, clean up some issues in her life, clean up some issues in our lives. And then she says, when I say I'm a Christian, I'm not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are far too visible, but God believes I'm worth it. So throughout this Christian walk and throughout her Christian walk, there's nothing in her life that indicates that she was perfect, just like we're not. And so because we're not perfect and people are continuously watching us as we walk this world, as we walk in the will of God, we make mistakes. And therefore, everyone sees the mistake that we made, and it's visible. I mean, it's obvious, you know, but God, in spite of those things, God believes that we're worth it. We're worth him going back to find us. And then she goes on in her other stanza when she talks about the different trials and struggles that she goes through. You know, she says she feels the pain and she feels the heartaches. So when she does this, when that happens, she calls upon Jesus' name. And then the last sentence, of course, speaks about, although she's a Christian, it doesn't mean that she's holy and than thou and she's up above and everything she do is Christ-like. She says she's a simple sinner who received God's good grace somehow. And so throughout all of this, this poetry that she's written, this particular poem, I Am a Christian, she's basically saying, I'm a Christian, but I'm not perfect. I'm a Christian, but I stumble sometimes. I'm a Christian, but I get weak sometimes. I'm a Christian, but I don't do it right sometimes. And she's being real about it, and she wants people to know that just because you walk in the will of God, it doesn't mean that you're going to have a perfect life, because things happen, obstacles happen, and because we're human, we have different reactions to different obstacles that may happen in our lives. Okay? Now, I'm going to go to this next poem before I, you know, reflect back on her life. I'm going to go to this next poem, and it's entitled I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And in this particular poem, I was sitting here reading it today, and what came to me was that the bird is Dr. Maya Angelou. And as a child, when I would read her poetry, as a child, when I would look at her life, the only thing that I was able to see was her poetry. I wasn't able to see her pain as a child. I wasn't able to see the things that she had to endure, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I wasn't able to see it because my eyes were innocent. And when individuals would introduce me through poetry to Dr. Maya Angelou, it was always uplifting poems. So in my eyes as a child, I perceived Dr. Maya as one who wrote uplifting poetry. But then as I began to go off to college and as I began to really study her works and as I heard her speak in Texas and met her and things like that, I began to realize that those innocent eyes turned into eyes that would see the inside of her heart. You know, and Jesus reminded me that many times we look at the outside of a person, and we don't particularly judge them, but we look on the outside and we make an assumption that everything is in order, everything is right. But God says as we mature in the faith of God, then we begin to look at the heart as he does. And he says, although we look at the heart as God sees the heart, then we're not, in other words, we're not on a level with God, but we're able to understand better what's going on as far as the characteristics of a person. So when looking at this particular poem, my visualization was this is someone who wrote about her life. And it's obvious, it says it in her bio that, you know, she wrote about her life when she was a child to age, you know, 16 or 17. But when I look at this particular poem, I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to give you the vision that I saw actually today when I was reading her poem. And then I want to talk about the things that she's experienced as a child and how she was able to overcome that pain. Because many individuals, as I said before, go through a lot of pain in our lives. It may not be the same pain that she went through, such as the abuse and things of that nature, but people go through pain, whatever type pain. And actually her life, Dr. Angelou's life, exemplifies that of a strong black woman who impacts the world, all different colors, races, you know. So I want to make sure that we talk about that. But I'm going to read this poem, and after I read this poem, I'm going to give you the vision, and then we're going to go ahead and go on to some other things that transpired in her life that made her become the woman who she is. Okay, the title of this poem, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. The tree bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the current ends and dips his wings in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The bird sings with fearful trill of the things unknown, but tongued for steel, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. The free bird thinks of another breeze and the trade wind soft through the sighing trees, and the fat worms waiting on a dawn bright lawn, and the names the sky his own. But a cage bird stands on the grave of dreams, his shadow shouts on a nightmare scream. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The cage bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but long for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the cage bird sings of freedom. Dr. Maya Angelou. I was sitting at my desk today, and I was going over some things that I wanted to share with you guys as far as Dr. Maya Angelou is concerned. And I remember listening to a gospel song by the late Mr. James Cleveland, and it spoke about a bird who was in a cage. And the gist of the story that was told in this particular gospel song was there was a bird who was in a cage, and a man one day decided to open up the cage so that the bird could fly away. But the bird remained in the cage, and the man said, "Little birdie, you're free because I've paid the price." And the little bird remained in the cage. And as I was going over and having thoughts about when I met Dr. Maya Angelou and when I heard her speak in Texas, she indicated that she did not begin speaking until the age of 6. She indicated that her mother, Mrs. Vivian Baxter, was her biggest cheerleader and always told her that she would be somebody and that she would go somewhere and she was intelligent and she would become this teacher and she would be known all over the world. And she said she would hear her mother say these things to her as she was mute and could not speak. And she thought to herself, you know, speaking about her mother, she said, "This lady just don't know who I am, you know. That's crazy to think that I will be able to speak and impact the world." So I go back to this particular poem, which exemplifies her years of not being able to speak. She felt like she was caged in because she heard so much negativity, and she didn't speak. And so even, you know, when she would see other people, because there's an indication in here about, you know, other birds, right? Other birds who were enjoying life and enjoying the sun and the skies and the rays, and they were flying. And here's this one bird who's just sitting there. Even with this, she's indicating that she felt trapped, and she felt trapped because of negativity. And it's very important that when you're experiencing things such as this and you feel like you're that caged bird that Dr. Maya Angelou is speaking about, it's very important that you be around positive people. Her mother, she continues to say in many videos, her mother was her cheerleader. Her mother was her inspiration. Her mother, you know, her mother was the one who really helped her and who helped her come out of that. And when she began to speak, her voice was so profound. And she has, you know, she has impacted the world a lot. And so we're paying, you know, tribute to Dr. Maya Angelou because of her great works and because of the words that she spoke and because of the beliefs that she had. And I want to try to play the phenomenal woman. If my speakers act up, then I'm going to go ahead and go on with other aspects of her life, how she's impacted me as a young black woman. And some of the things that I thought about Dr. Maya Angelou when I was growing up. So I'm going to try to get on this video here. And if you hear a lot of noise as far as if the video's not doing well, then we will go on and go to how she has impacted me personally, and we will also go to other aspects of her poetry. I want to hear at least one more piece of her poetry. So, let's see here. Okay, just be patient with me. This is a phenomenal woman.
Many people wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. When I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breath, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palms of my hands, the need for my care, because I'm a woman, phenomenally.
All right, the phenomenal woman. And with this, you could tell that Dr. Maya Angelou had confidence, you know, when she wrote this particular poem, because as compared, if we look at the poem about the cage bird, you notice that the bird was in a cage. You also notice that she basically described some bars that stood before the bird and how the bird would just basically sit in the cage and look out as the other birds enjoy. But now she's this phenomenal woman, and she walks. She has a different style, how she walks. And she says, I am a woman, a phenomenal woman. That means a great woman. So there is a correlation and a difference between being caged in and kind of shy, you know, and then the phenomenal woman, she's confident now. She's not shy anymore. She's confident. So we had one end of the spectrum where she was this shy woman. She was stuck in a cage because she couldn't speak. And, you know, the negative things that people were saying and the different pain that she endured, such as abuse and things like that. And now she's been able to express herself, and her mom has been encouraging her, and these other people have been encouraging her, and now she's this phenomenal woman. So it's very important that we see that difference and that balance in there. Now, she still says, I am a Christian, right? And when you look at this phenomenal woman, you see her, she's wooing the gentleman, she's wooing the man here. And she says, but I'm still a Christian. So it's very important to look at the different symbolizations that are in her poetry, which I think is amazing. At this particular time, before I go into what Dr. Angelou means to me, I want to look at some of her quotes. I'm going to read some of them. And the reason why I'm reading some of them is because we're remembering her and her quotes, and they're very powerful. And I'm also going to play another video where she was on the OWN show, the Oprah Winfrey show, and she said some powerful words. She said three powerful words, and I'm going to see if I can't find that YouTube video. Okay, so here are some of her quotes, and this, we're talking about Dr. Maya Angelou today. For those of you who are just joining us, her life and her legacy, and we're celebrating her life through her works. We're focusing on the good things, amen, as the Bible, as the good book says, focus on the good things, and we're just paying tribute to her. All right, so here are some of her quotes. If you don't like something, change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude. I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. My mother said I must always be intolerant of ignorance, but understanding of illiteracy, that some people unable to go to school were more educated and more intelligent than college professors. While I know myself as a creation of God, I am also obligated to realize and remember that everyone else and everything else are also God's creation. My great hope is to laugh as much as I cry, to get my work done and try to love somebody and have the courage to accept the love in return. Nothing will work unless you do. Music was my refuge. I could crawl into the space between the notes and curl my back to loneliness. Courage is the most important of all the virtues, because without courage, you can't practice any other virtue consistently. You can practice any virtue erratically, but nothing consistently without courage. Love recognizes no barriers. It jumps hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at its destination, full of hope. Perhaps travel cannot prevent bigotry, but by demonstrating that all peoples cry, laugh, eat, worry, and die, it can introduce the idea that if we try and understand each other, we may even become friends. Try to be a rainbow in someone's cloud. When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Prejudice is a burden that confuses the past, threatens the future, and renders the present inaccessible. There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. You can't forgive without loving, and I don't mean sentimentally. I don't mean mush. I mean having enough courage to stand up and say, I forgive. I'm finished with it. Words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning. It is time for parents to teach young people early on that in diversity there is beauty and there is strength. I've learned that you shouldn't go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw something back. Any book that helps a child to form a habit of reading, to make reading one of his deep and continuing needs, is good for him. All great achievements require time. We may encounter many defeats, but we must not be defeated. Bitterness is like cancer. It eats up on the host. But anger is like fire. It burns it all clean. You are the sum total of everything you've ever seen, heard, eaten, smelled, been told, forgot. It's all there. Everything influences each of us, and because of that, I try to make sure that my experiences are positive. One isn't necessarily born with courage, but one is born with potential. Without courage, we cannot practice any other virtue with consistency. We can't be true, kind, merciful, generous, or honest. I'm grateful to intelligent people. That doesn't mean educated. That doesn't mean intellectual. I mean really intelligent. What black old people used to call mother wit means intelligence that you had in your mother's womb. That's what you rely on. You know what's right to do. Those are some of her quotes that she shared throughout her life. And I really, really feel that out of each of those quotes, the one that I really love is this particular one that I'm getting ready to read, okay? And, you know, she has many different quotes, and you can read them. All you have to do is Google them. There are many different quotes, but this one stands out to me the most. It says, I'm convinced of this. Good done anywhere is good done everywhere. For a change, start by speaking to people rather than walking by them like they're stones that don't matter. As long as you're breathing, it's never too late to do some good. Dr. Maya Angelou. So in this particular quote, and this basically to me sums up her life, you can go anywhere you want and do good. Everywhere you go, you should do good and leave a legacy. Everywhere you go, people should know that you're up to some good, that you're willing to help others. And I want to share with you the triumph of Dr. Maya Angelou, because I want to share with you this two-minute video entitled Finding My Voice. Because as I said before, she was 6 years old when she began speaking. But when you begin to read her poetry, you tend to wonder that during those 6 years of her life, it was probably already manifested in the will of God that she just listened to God for 6 years, 6 full years, so that she can begin to develop her life, this celebrity life, this life, this prosperous life. And sometimes God quietens us. He has different ways of quieting, of making us quiet in order to begin to speak to us. And so my theory of her not being able to speak for 6 years is that Jesus was working on her. Remember I told you, you know, sometimes things happen and it's because God is preparing us. For 6 years now, she wasn't able to speak. And her mom was that person, that angel, that said, "You're going to be a great woman. You can do it." Her mom encouraged her, which is good. And I was at a particular event last week, and a gentleman said his son wasn't able to speak, you know, for a while. He wasn't able to call him dad. And then they would prophesy over him, and they would pray over him, amen? And now he's talking, and he's thanking God. You know, the little baby is, you know, he's talking and calling his dad, dad, and he's using his words. And what the Lord showed me is sometimes God does that. Sometimes he put us in those uncomfortable positions that I was telling you about so that he began to speak with us and let us know the will of God. And he even does that to children. It's not just adults or, you know, people who are in the ministry. And so, you know, that was a blessing because now that she was speaking, then we're able to understand the world a little bit better in her eyes. And all of these poems are uplifting. So I want you to hear this interview entitled Finding My Voice. And then I'm going to tell you what she means to me. And I'm just going to go over some things, some clips in remembrance of her that other people have established online. Okay, so right now I'm going to play a video entitled Finding My Voice. And then I'm going to play a 5-minute video entitled Love Liberates. And the reason why I'm playing these two is because it's very uplifting and powerful, and it could help a lot of the listeners. So here we go.
You hear it, not to make it up in my head. I was making up the sound. I thought this is how it would sound. But then to say, I know what the caged bird feels on me. When the sun is bright on the upland slope, when the wind blows soft through the springing grass and the river floats like a sheet of glass, when the first bird sings and the first bud opens, and the faint perfume from its chalice steals. I know what the caged bird feels. To hear it, my land, oh my goodness.
And that brought you back?
I continued, yes, to speak. And Bailey helped a lot. And a year or so later, I went back to California to live with my mother, with our mother, and she knew, too, that it was dangerous for me to become silent. That's still so all these years later, 60-odd years later. It is still so. If I'm really shaken, and I then bring myself out. I start, I sing, I speak loudly and firmly, recite Poe and Shakespeare and James Weldon Johnson and all, and do it. Because mutism is like a drug. It's so addictive. You don't have to do anything.
Okay, so she was speaking about, you know, that caged bird, and she was speaking about how she found her voice. You know, she said when she get into that state where she feels like she's becoming mute again, then she begins to sing or recite poetry like Shakespeare or someone like that. And so she's saying that being silent is like a drug. You don't have to do anything to become addicted to it. So she's saying that we all need to have a voice, you know, a strong, positive voice. So that was the message within that particular clip. Now I want to, as I was researching and looking over my notes, now I want you to hear about what she's going to say about her mother. And this was on Super Soul with the OWN TV network. And these are 9 words that changed Dr. Maya Angelou's life forever. And I want you to pay close attention or listen closely to how, to what she says about her mother. You know, why is it so important to have positive people in your life? And this, once again, is Dr. Maya Angelou, and she is speaking on the OWN TV network. Okay? So listen closely.
What you in the mood for?
Okay, we have a little commercial here right quick, and then we're going to start the particular YouTube video on the best advice Dr. Maya Angelou has ever given.
As I'm reading the story about you and your mother, there's something about the story of your life that resonate with the stories of all of our lives.
Yes.
Is that why you wrote it?
Well, I don't know if that's why. That's one of the whys.
Yes.
One of the whys is because I can write.
And writers write.
And writers write. Also because I wanted to see my mother a little apart from me so that I could really love her life. And once you love somebody's life, means you understand their life.
Yes.
And so you can understand why a person does a certain thing.
Because you say in the book, and I've heard you say before about her, that she was not a good mother for young children.
She was terrible.
Terrible for young children.
Yes. And my mother explained to me once, I asked her to never tell it again. She said when I was about two or three years old, that I had asked for something, and she didn't give it to me. And I had slapped her on her leg, and we were sitting on the porch, and she backhanded me off the porch into the dirt. She said I didn't have what was necessary for a young mother.
Yeah.
I didn't have that.
Yeah.
But this woman was the greatest mother of a young adult. Incredible. Just fantastic. She told me once when I was 22, we were walking down the street, and she said, "Baby, stop a minute." And I stopped. She said, "You know, I think you're the greatest woman I've ever met." I was 22 years old. And I looked down at this woman that people call Lady, because I had named her Lady.
Mm-hmm.
And also she owned hotels and things, and people admired her, and some were frightened of her, rightly. She said, Mary McLeod Bethune, Eleanor Roosevelt, and my mother, you're in that category. Give me a kiss. And she kissed me on my lips and went across the street to get in her car.
Mm.
And I thought, you know, suppose she's right. Suppose I really am going to be somebody.
Mm.
Maybe I should stop smoking and stop drinking and stop cursing. Well, I did stop cursing from that day to this. I still don't.
Really?
Really. It's rare for me to use a profane word. Very rare.
Okay. So that was just the commercial on the, excuse me, that was just a program on the OWN, on the OWN show that I wanted to share with you. And so what Dr. Maya Angelou means to me, Dr. Maya Angelou, through my lens as a small child, was someone who surprised me with her great smile. I watched her on TV. I saw her at her best. I read her poetry before I would rest. I often think how great she was. I think about her life and just her thoughts that she put into her writing. She helped me to develop my creativity. She helped me to manipulate words in which they would become alive. I really, as a child, I would write poetry, and I would study her verse. Each verse I read, I would try to rehearse. As I would listen to her poetry each day, I try to exemplify my life such as that in every way. You know, I'm freestyling, right? But to me, and I'm still speaking of my childhood, Dr. Maya Angelou was just a phenomenal woman. And as I said before, I never saw the pain that she experienced when I was a child. I never understood the things behind the poetry, but I knew that she loved nature. I knew that she loved being in the skin she was in. But as far as knowing the pain behind that was obscure in her poetry, I never saw it. Did she intend for children to only see the nature part, you know, in her writings? I don't know. But I know that as a child, when I studied her poetry, all I focused on was the uplifting part. All I focused on was the bird. All I focused on was the lady, the phenomenal woman, and how she would, you know, prance back and forth and woo all of these people. But as I said before, when I became a teenager, a young adult, and I was in college, and I was really, you know, and I was listening to her, and I was really studying the life of Dr. Maya Angelou, I saw that I needed to expand my lens because I had become older, and, you know, the pain that she went through as a child, no child should experience that. But she was able to overcome it, you know, not being able to speak until the age, you know, until six or seven, being mute all that time. And, you know, I just wonder what people were saying to her, and I wonder if she ever felt like she wanted to say something, you know, especially when her mom was speaking to her. And sometimes, as I'm speaking to you now, Lord just revealed that sometimes when people continue to feed us with negative things, I'm talking about people who don't know how to turn the negative into positive. When people begin to feed negative things, then you begin to believe it, and then you begin to live your life around that world that they have built for you. And that's what happened to Dr. Maya Angelou, you know, when she wasn't speaking for those many years. And she began to build her life around the circumstances that she was facing. She had her own little community going where she was with everybody, but she was still by herself because she didn't have a voice. But her mom began to create this beautiful picture that I'm seeing in my mind, this beautiful mansion that I'm seeing, and she told her that she could be this phenomenal woman. She could be anything, which was very encouraging. And I say all that to say this, that as a child and as a young woman now, you know, I really admire Dr. Maya Angelou because she had her valley moments. Yes, that's true. We all have them. But she was able to rise. She said, and still I rise. And I'm going to play that at the end. You know, she said, still I rise. You know, and she rise from all of that abuse. She was able to rise from not being able to speak. She was able to rise from all that negativity. And what I want people to understand about Dr. Maya Angelou, if I had one thing to relate to the listeners about her life and in remembrance of her, it's if you fall, get back up. That's the whole concept. If you fall, get back up. And I was reading her, you know, the last few hours of her life, and, you know, she didn't want to be resuscitated. You know, she had, you know, in that particular moment, you know, I'm thinking that although she was, you know, living her final seconds or moments, that she is able to still rise because she left such a legacy, and people are still talking about her poetry. People were still study her poetry. You know, when we have programs at church, when I go to different places to speak, people are still reciting her poetry, especially the phenomenal woman. I spoke to someone who said, you know, I remember reciting her poem, I Am a Christian. You know, so her legacy will begin to, or will still rise. And so to me, Dr. Maya Angelou is an icon. She always will be. You know, it's such a, it's a loss to society that she's gone physically, but her spirit still lives on, and her spirit still lives in her works. And from my understanding, she has a son by the name of Guy. And, you know, as I said, I will continue, I will always continue to study Dr. Maya Angelou, and I will begin to study her different works, because she is the picture of a successful woman who has risen. And she reminds me of Jesus. I want to say this because I also see this other vision. When Jesus was on the cross, amen, and he was buried, he had to go down. Is that right? For 2 days. But guess what? On the third day, he was able to rise with all power in his hand. And that's what Maya Angelou, that's her life. You know, her life is, she was on the cross. She was abused. You know, Jesus wasn't sexually abused, but he was abused, and Maya Angelou was abused. You know, she went to the cross, you know, not the cross that Jesus went on, but she went, she put herself out there. You know, she went to the cross. And for 6 years, you know, she, in other words, was buried alive, you know, because of negativity, buried alive because of abuse. She was down, you know. And then all of a sudden, after that 6 years, she was able to rise up, you know, and she was able to be the, one of the most powerful women who have ever lived, one of the most powerful women who have ever given back to society, who have ever given wisdom and knowledge, who has ever given just poetry that is just unknown, just unique poetry that uplifts, edifies, magnifies not only God but the people. And she's real about it. She tells you about real life. You can relate to it, so anyone can read it and understand it. You know, it's on everyone's level. And in her poetry, she exemplifies that of a confident woman, and that's how she wants us to be. She wants us to be confident. So while we're sad and while we wish the family our condolence, we also celebrate her life, and we celebrate her life because of the legacy she left. And I know that some pieces of her poetry are within my life, because I am also a phenomenal woman, and I feel that just because we fall, just because we make mistakes, that we can still rise up. And so I am living that. I am walking that out, and I believe that no matter what obstacles one face, no matter what circumstance one face, that you can still come up and you can still be somebody. And I also feel that family is very important and your friends are very important, but they have to be positive. And I also feel that they play a big part in our lives. So although we celebrate the homegoing of Dr. Maya Angelou, we also celebrate her life and the legacy that she left for us. I pray for her family. I pray for her son. I pray for everyone who was close to Dr. Maya Angelou. I pray for, you know, this world, that we will continue to embrace the lady, the phenomenal woman that she was. I would like to leave you with this poem entitled Still I Rise by Dr. Maya Angelou. We may have a commercial and we may not. I don't know. But we're going to be patient and we're going to let this commercial play if it comes on, or we're going to listen to Dr. Maya Angelou with her poem entitled Still I Rise.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? It's because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like suns and like moons, with the certainty of tides, just like hope springing high. Still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my sadness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh. As if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I'll rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh. Does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my eyes. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide. Welling and swelling, I'm there in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gift that my ancestors gave. I am the hope and the dream of the slave.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a tribute to the late Dr. Maya Angelou. On behalf of the Love of Jesus of Ministry, I would like to extend my sympathy and my condolence and my prayers to her family. I pray that her services will be memorable, and I pray that her family continue to have strength, because she has left a legacy that we will never forget. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a tribute to Dr. Maya Angelou. Okay, I have a few announcements to make. Please continue to uplift and encourage your family by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedomlove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. The Perfecting Your Walk Guide is out. It has been out for at least 2.5 weeks. Please be sure that you go to the different book stores online, and you can type in a spiritual guide to go by Dr. Alfreda Love, and you will see that. So please support my ministry in purchasing that book. Gospel artists, promoters, actors, writers, poets, Christian rappers, anyone who is interested, positive community leaders, please reach out to me on Facebook, ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE. Or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the ministry. Be sure that you are praying for 105 individuals. If you have to pray for all of your family members, make sure that you put them all on one line and pray for them one by one. And do not forget to pray for yourself. In addition to that, the CWC, which is Connecting with Christ, is up and running. We are actually extending, are spreading our wings to different outlets and different people, because we would like for a lot of people to get on board and support the ministry by going out, speaking to people within the community. That is the first step. And then we will go on and carry on with other things that are going on concerning the CWC. In addition to that, I have an announcement. Calling all agents. We are on a mission. The Great Ebenezer Baptist Church is having Vacation Bible School on June 16th, 17th, and 18th from 6 to 8 o'clock p.m. We would like to see you there. The theme is Agency D3, which means Discover, Decide, and Defend. This comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. We would like to have you all there. Please bring any students or kids that you know. We're also recruiting teachers. So if you are available from June 16th through the 18th from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. and would like to do a service for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the Great Ebenezer Baptist Church, where the Reverend Dr. K. Carrie Berkeley is pastor, please be sure to email me at emoneya_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to see you teaching some of these children, teaching them the Word of God, and also the Lord will smile on you doing a service for Him. All right, so be sure to put that down on your calendar once again. That's June 16th, 17th, and 18th from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. at the Great Ebenezer Baptist Church, 919 Dutton Avenue, Waco, Texas, 76705. The church is actually located right by Baylor University. It's on the right-hand side. You can't miss it. It's off the highway. So please make plans to come and celebrate with us as we have a good time in the Lord at Vacation Bible School, and you will also see me there, God's will. All right. In addition to that, I just want you to remember that we're going to have some more gospel artists and individuals come on to the Love, Lift Jesus Up ministry. So please be sure to tune in and stay tuned to things that's going on my Facebook page. I would like to pause and recognize my late niece, Takaria Dixon. Actually, this particular class who's graduating at La Vega High School is her class. So we're just going to go to the graduation. She passed away with leukemia a couple of years ago. And we thank God for his will. We thank God for where she's at. And we just want to celebrate, amen, all of the graduates. So we will be there in the house. So, and we thank God. And I will also be doing a tribute to her actually on tomorrow on my Love, Lift Jesus Up ministry because of the life that she lived, amen. And one thing that I do want to say that I remember speaking to her about when she was in the hospital was that I had this conference going on, and this conference was entitled Empowering the People, and she wanted to be one of my speakers. So I told her, you know, she could be one of my speakers, but obviously, as you know, that she passed away before that time. But she lived a great life, and she's still living her life, or, you know, we're still celebrating her life as well through the Spirit of God. But we thank God for everything that has transpired. We thank God for the years that we were able, amen, to enjoy her in our lives, because she was a blessing and she was a character as well, amen. So we're going to be doing that. I'm going to mention her again on tomorrow on my radio ministry. And in addition to that, I want to congratulate all of the graduates from all over the United States. I have a lot of friends who are inboxing me, emailing me, telling me about their students who are graduating, and I really appreciate that. And I would like to once again recognize my nephew who made the president's list. And then I had a nephew who graduated. Then I have a nephew who's doing an excellent job. He's working and things like that. And I'm just proud of my family, and I'm proud of my community and my friends, and I'm just happy. I'm just happy to be here, amen. I'm proud of the Love of Jesus Up ministry as we get ready to celebrate our first year, amen. So we're not new anymore. We're getting ready to celebrate our first year, and God is moving us to different places as far as ministry is concerned and putting people and connections in our lives, and we appreciate that. And so there's a lot of things going on, if you can tell. And we just thank God. We thank God for the current state that we're in, amen. And we just continue to uplift and praise God in spite of, amen. We say we're going to praise God through the rain, the storms, and the sunshine. And so we have to praise God, and his praises shall continuously be in my mouth. So I'm going to continue to praise God. And as you all know, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm rejoicing, and I'm glad in it. The Lord has been good. As I said before, ministry, I'm going to announce this later. I'm going to withhold what the Lord revealed to me. I'm going to withhold it right now because it's not time to release that. But I'm just praying for everyone, and you guys pray for me, and I'm continuing to pray for those in hospitals, convalescent homes, those in other places. You know, just pray for yourselves and pray for health and allergies and strength and pain and things of that nature. Just pray for each other. But as I said before, there is a great move of God that's on its way. And so get ready, get ready, get ready. And once again, I appreciate God and my family and my friends for tuning in, because you could be doing anything else such as sleeping right now. I just want to shout out to all of the artists all over the world that I'm working with. I'm praying for a particular event. I've already started praying, but I really want you to mark down June 16, 17, and 18 from 6 to 8 as our church will celebrate Vacation Bible School. Bring as many kids, students, as you can. We're still looking for a couple of more teachers, so if you know of anyone, then You know my email. You know my inbox. Just let me know. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. And until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. And be sure to join me because we're praying with love on tomorrow. And it will be pretty late because I plan on going to the graduation. All right? And once again, congratulations to all the graduates. May God bless and take care of you as you journey on through your life. Goodbye, everybody.